right. Looks like pretty good. Put your hands down. If you don't have one, raise your hand. And we've got one here. I want to see our ushers run to bring. And all the way up here at the front. Well, move. Run might be an overstatement. I appreciate our ushers and all they do, and I'm glad Brother Thurman is here tonight, and we've got him on the front row tonight. Good. And we're so happy that he's here. Let me sing a verse of this song, and then we'll try it together. Everybody just look at your music and listen this first time through. Just look at the music. A friend of Jesus, oh, what bliss that one as weak as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. That last line, oh, what blessed sweet communion. Yeah, a lot of words fast on that one. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. All right, let's just all try it. Turn on a friend. Here we are. Verse 1, ready? A friend of Jesus. Oh, what bliss that one as weak as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. Verse 2, a friend when other friendships cease, a friend when others fall, a friend who gives me joy and peace, a friend who will prevail. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. A friend to lead me in the dark. A friend who knows the way. A friend to steer my weakened bark. A friend my debts to pay. Friendship with Jesus. Beautiful. Jesus is a friend of mine. A friend when sickness lays me low. A friend when death draws near. A friend as through the veil I go. A friend to help and cheer. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. A friend when life's rough voyage is o'er. A friend when death is past. A friend to greet on heaven's shore. A friend when home at last. Friendship with Jesus. Beautiful. Jesus is a friend of mine. All right, let's stand up and sing that first verse one more time, because I've just got a short sermon tonight. We've got time for one more verse. You've heard preachers say they've got those short sermons, right? Isn't this a wonderful song, a happy tune, a wonderful truth? A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Verse 1, a friend of Jesus, oh, what bliss. That one so weak as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. Ready, a friend of Jesus. Oh, what bliss that one so weak as I. Friendship with Jesus. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. You may be seated, and let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. We will continue with the message that we started this morning in the service at 11 this morning. And many of you were here and was in the service to hear the sermon, but we'll review the first part and then continue on. Now, be in your place every service this week, all the way through, and keep working your friends for next Sunday morning in particular. Oh, let's really work. Let's work for a big friend day. We've done this many times at our church, this friend day, and it's a good tool in our hands to get our friends here. Recently, a pastor friend of mine, he was really pushing his people every way possible. Try to get your friends to come. Every way possible. We've got to be soul winners. We've got to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. And in that church, there was an older gentleman who had never sent a text in his life. And he went down to the cell phone store and he said, "I need you to teach me how to text." And so they taught Bud. His name is Bud. His name is Anthony, but he goes by Bud. They taught Bud how to text. Okay. His preacher had worked on him to, you know, every way possible. So Bud, first time in his life, he sent 6 texts to 6 lost friends. And he said, "I want you to be with me at church next Sunday morning." Well, 6 people who had never, ever gotten a text from Bud. "Hey, Bud just sent me a text. He wants me to go to church with him." Out of 6, 3 of them went to church with him. All right, let me just do a little survey. We're getting this sermon. How many of you do absolutely know how to text and you have sent some text? Raise your hand real high. Yeah. All right. How many of you have never sent a text in your life? Okay, a few of you. All right, you got to learn how to text this week now. I taught my dad how to text. Yeah. And so, you know, my dad's in his 80s and my dad sent a text to me. 1 minute later, he called me. You know my dad. He called and he said, "Did you get my text?" I said, "Well, I did." He said, "Well, you haven't written me back yet." I said, "Well, Pop, sometimes it takes more than 1 minute. I might be doing something, you know." But I'm glad I get to text with my dad. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18 is the verse we read, and we got the background of the passage today. 1 Kings 13 and verse 18, he, the old man of God, the old prophet, he said unto him, he is talking to a young man of God, a young preacher. The old man of God's talking to the young man of God. He said unto him, old man said, "I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him." Sermon title, The Perils of the Mature Believer. Perils of the Mature Believer. This morning we thought a little while about some of us who have been saved for decades.
In fact, let's do a little survey right now. How many of you in this room have been saved at least 20 years? Raise your hand real high if you've been saved at least 20 years, all right? Keep them up if you've been saved for 30 years, all right? Keep them up if you've been saved for 40 years. All right, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. All right, how many years, sir? 53, ma'am. 59. Wonderful. 53, wonderful. Somebody else was over here? 74. You received Christ as your Savior 74 years ago? Where did you receive Christ? Was it at church? Was it at your house? Was it, where was it that you received Christ? Do you remember? At your house 74 years ago. That's fantastic. How many years for you, sir? 45 years for you. Over here, Brother Jim? 54 years ago. Where did you receive Christ? Praise God for Vacation Bible School. Did I miss anyone else that was? Yes. Yes, sir. 67. I like his voice, don't you? 67. That's a good voice, sir. 67. Where did you receive Christ? That's a great testimony. You know, you can sing a song about Jesus and not be saved. You can write a book about Jesus and not be saved. But there's one thing you can't do. You can't call on Him to save you and not get saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, this sermon is a sermon of warning to us that have been saved quite a while. Now, the aim of everyone is become a mature believer. That's the aim. That's the aim of every believer. Now, I said this morning, be careful to think this way. Be careful. It's dangerous to think this way. Say, well, I've been saved so long, there's no chance of me failing spiritually. I was ordained into the ministry. I answered the call to be a full-time servant. I went forward at Grace Baptist Church, Hampton, Virginia. Pastor Dudley turned me around and said, Byron has answered the call to be a full-time servant of the Lord. He said, how many of you church folk gonna be praying for him? People all over that room agreed to pray for me and did pray for me and encouraged me. Praise the Lord. Began trying to serve the Lord, all through these years. And I want you to serve God all your years. That was 47 years ago when I received Christ. And oh, I don't know, I was 15 when I preached my first sermon. 40 years ago, I preached my first sermon. Trying to serve God all life long. There was a man on my, listen, there was a man on my ordination council. I wrote out my doctrinal paper. This is before computers. By hand, I wrote it out and then I typed it. Made three typos in it because during my ordination council, the man that was sitting right across from me said, son, you have some gross errors in your doctrinal statement. He called them gross errors. I thought I was a heretic maybe. I didn't know. No, I had three typos. Yeah. And that man was a notable preacher. That man became a drunkard. He's with the Lord now. He repented, but he lost his ministry. As an older man, he lost his ministry. Oh, mature believers, there's all life long there are pitfalls. Be careful, be careful. Oh, life changes and things change. Be very, very careful because all of us could fall. Amen to that. May God help us. Now, a little background on this passage. This old preacher, he lives there in the 10 tribes of Israel. Jeroboam is the king. And Jeroboam is king. He establishes idol worship. The kingdom has divided 10 tribes over here with Jeroboam. Rehoboam has two tribes. And Jeroboam does not want his people going over here to Rehoboam's kingdom to worship God. So Jeroboam establishes false religion, idol worship. Have you heard the Ten Commandments? God does not want us to serve idols. There's all kind of idolatry in America. Sports is one of them. Troubles me. All the ball games on Sundays where our boys, our little league boys out there playing ball, it bothers me. Idolatry as far as I'm concerned. I don't even like the time changes on Sunday. I just don't like that. Amen. Anyway, let's move on. So Jeroboam, he's got the 10 tribes and he's got idol worship going on. And God's not pleased with that. And so the old man of God does not raise his voice. And God has a young preacher, a young man of God, a young prophet, gets called to duty. And the young prophet goes and he is to confront the king, Jeroboam. The young man is supposed to take the message, confront the king about this false religion. And the young man is not supposed to eat anything. He's not to drink anything. He has delivered the message and go back home. Well, the young man, he goes. He delivers the message and it's very dramatic. He delivers the message, confronts the king, and the king reaches out his hand and begins to make proclamations. And the king's arm, Jeroboam's arm, withers up in front of everyone. The old preacher's sons are there to witness what takes place. Arm withers up. Oh, man of God, young man of God, help me. And God has mercy. And the arm is restored. Amazing. A miracle. Well, the sons of the old prophet witness all that, go over there and say to their dad. They go and say to the old prophet, his son says, Dad, you gotta hear this. It's amazing what took place over there. The king reached out his hand and the young man had confronted him about the false religion. The king raised his voice and stuck out his hand. His arm withers up. And they said, Dad, the boys are talking to the old man of God. Dad, God's alive. God is real. You should have seen it. Old man of God listens to all that. Says, where is this young man of God? Well, Dad, he wasn't supposed to eat or drink anything. He got back on his animal. He's going back. He's going back to where he came from. Old man of God says, let me go find him. I want to talk to him. And so the old man of God gets on his animal. He goes to find the young man of God. And he finds him. And this is what he says to him. Verse 18, he says, I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Point number one in our sermon this morning, the lethargy that marked the old believer's service. Lethargy. He's lethargic. He is inactive. He has not gone to confront the king. He has not gone and said, Jeroboam, what you're doing is wrong. These false idols are wrong. False religion is wrong. There is a God in heaven, Jeroboam. Don't you know that? You need to be worshiping God Almighty, not some little fake idol. He has not done that. He has been inactive. He has been silent. Do you know sometimes? Hey. Sometimes it is a sin for a Christian to be silent. Amen. I was on a plane in July. I was on a plane flying from Charlotte, North Carolina to Philadelphia. I get on the plane and there's a young man named Bruce. And as we're flying, I'm chatting with Bruce and I learned that Bruce has gotten out of jail He's been in jail 94 days. He's 23 years old. His life is a bungled mass of confusion. I took this copy of the Word of God. I said, Bruce, man, God has a plan for you. Well, he was pretty interested. I said, you need a fresh start. He said, yeah, I do. And the flight was 1 hour and 6 minutes long. And about 1 hour and 4 minutes into the flight, he bowed his head and received Christ right there on the plane. Called out on the Lord. Sir, just like you called out on the Lord how you're been right there in the airplane. He called out to the Lord. I'll just tell you, the airline attendant came to me a moment later and said, sir, you have talked about personal things this entire flight. I said, are you going up and down the aisle telling everyone to stop talking about personal things or just me? See, he's picking on me. He didn't like that I'd presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I kind of spoke back to him. And have you ever kind of spoke back and you wished you hadn't used exactly that tone? I felt pretty bad about not what I'd said, but the way I'd said it. So I went and found the airline worker. Nobody else on the plane had complained. The airline worker had complained. I went to him. I said, sir, I want to apologize to you. I spoke too aggressively, striking in my tone, and I apologize. I said, sir, I do not apologize that I told the man about Jesus Christ. I don't apologize about that. No, no. Hey, don't apologize about Jesus. Yeah. Amen. We're supposed to let our little light shine. Sing with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. But the old man in this passage, he's not been letting his light shine. He's been inactive. He's been silent. Why? Maybe he just wanted everybody to like him. He didn't want to get anybody upset with him. Because sometimes people get upset with the preacher, you know. If you preach this book, not everybody's going to like you. We better stay with the book, though, friends. Amen to that. But the old preacher, oh no, he doesn't want to make people upset. Maybe he's just tired. I don't know, but he was lethargic. And then when his sons came in, it just kind of shocked him. I mean, the silence has been broken, and the old man feels condemned. And we get to point number two. The animosity that seared the old preacher's spirit, the old believer, the mature believer, his spirit is seared. He lies to the young preacher. He's filled with pride. Who is this young preacher coming over here into my territory? And what's he doing? He's cut to the quick. The old man, he's cut to the quick. He's condemned. Not explicitly. The young preacher hasn't come over and said, now look, I hear there's an old preacher, but he's been just quiet. I'm coming over here and I'm going to let you know. The young preacher doesn't do that. Explicitly, the old preacher hasn't been identified. But implicitly, the old preacher knows. I should have spoken up for God. I have failed. And so the old man, the mature believer, he comes up with a plan. What kind of plan? Retaliation. I'm going to retaliate. Hey, boys, get my animal. I'm going to go find that young preacher. I'm going to talk to him. And the old preacher gets on his animal, goes, finds him. He's going to retaliate. He's going to retaliate against the young man. I've been in the ministry. Please listen. I've been in the ministry 30 6 years. That's not real long, but that's not real short. May I tell you something? In 36 years of full-time service to my Lord, in 36 years, I've never seen it turn out right when a Christian tries to take revenge into their hands. See, your spirit can get wounded. Everybody, people can wound you. They can hurt you. They'll try to hurt you. My table back there, I had somebody come by one night, and boy, he's just telling me how everything I was doing is wrong. I said, sir, I said, I've got a mandate from God to do what I'm doing. And he just continued to, I said, sir, there's nothing you can say to me that's going to change my mind about what I'm doing for God. Well, he just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And I'm packing things up and all that stuff. Got in my car, had a friend with me. My friend said, what did that guy say? He said everything I'm doing wrong. He said, what else did he say? I said, I don't know. I said, I just tuned him out. Sometimes people are trying to wound your spirit. Just walk with God. And listen, I didn't want to retaliate against that poor fella. How pitiful to try to get a preacher to quit trying to win folks to Christ. How pitiful. Don't y'all want me to try to stay on the evangelistic trail? Amen. Amen. Stay at it, Brother Fox. Keep your hand to the plow, Brother Fox. Amen. And church, Faith Baptist Church, Pastor, Brother Thurman, Brother Jim, and everybody in this room, keep your hand to the plow. There'll be people who try to wound you. Don't you come up with some scheme to retaliate. You leave the critics in God's hands. Let God take care of all that and leave all the vengeance in the hands of God. But the old man, he decides to retaliate because, you see, his spirit has been seared. Point three. The tragedy that halted the old believer's success. Whatever success this old prophet has had, it all comes to a halt. It comes to a screeching halt on this day. It's all done this day. It's over. And what weapon to retaliate does the old man use? Verse 38, he said. What weapon does he use? He uses his tongue. He uses his words. The words by his tongue. The old prophet says, why, you must be hungry, you must be thirsty. And he adds a little touch of authority. He says, I am a prophet too. He alleges some divine guidance. God told me through an angel to bring you to my house. Now, I've been talking a lot to the mature believers. But in this room, we have some that's been saved three months. One that was baptized last Sunday. We've got some in this room. You're not mature believers yet. Every believer starts as a baby believer. Everybody. And so, let me talk to the young believers for a minute. Now, God had told the young prophet, God had said, young prophet, go deliver the message and then get on your animal, come home, don't eat anything and don't drink anything. That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. So the old prophet comes and says, I'm a prophet too. Come on to my house. You must be hungry. You must be thirsty. What should the young preacher have said? Just said, no, I'm not allowed to do that. Sir, you must have gotten wrong information because God told me what I am supposed to do. No, sir, I can't come to your house. I'm not supposed to eat anything. I'm not supposed to drink anything. The young man was gullible. Have you ever been gullible? I bought a Chevy Nova one time. I had two happy days with that car. Day I bought it, day I sold it. guy saw me coming, you know. I'm young and whoo, I'm just believing him. Everything he's saying, you know. Should have taken somebody with me who knew something about a car. I'm young, gullible. Man's young. He's gullible. You know, all of us can be tempted to be gullible. Are you listening? Look, when some of these so-called preachers get up and start alleging some things that don't go according to this book, you just say, well, that's not what the word says. I hear you. You're speaking like you've got authority. You're using some big words and you got a position of authority. Seem like you call yourself a preacher, but what you're saying doesn't line up with the book, so I'm just going to have to tune you out. I'm not given to your ministry because what you're saying is not according to this book. Amen. And the young man, he's gullible. The young man goes, oh, so you're an old preacher. Oh, I should be able to trust you. He should have been able to trust him. Us that know the Lord, let's be very, very careful not to insert our opinion like it's divine instruction. Because now let me tell you something. I've got an opinion about everything. I'm a man. I've got an opinion about everything. Even things I have no clue about, I've got an opinion. But look, it's just an opinion. This book right here is right. And everything it says. That's why Bible conference, we want the Bible to be preached. So the old preacher, oh, he messes up awful. It's tragic. It's absolutely tragic. He uses his words. He uses his tongue as a weapon. And what kind of waste took place? Well, the young man gets on his animal after he's eaten and drunk with the old preacher, gets on his animal. He's going home. How'd that turn out? Not good. Not good. The young man is in grave danger. He's disobeyed the Lord. He's in grave danger. And on the way home, a young lion kills. Read the text. A young lion comes and destroys, kills the young man of God. Well, you find in this passage, the old preacher hears about it. He's filled with regret. We mature believers, when we mess up, we regret it. We regret it. And the old preacher, he still does not repent. At first glance, it may seem like he's being magnanimous because he says, oh, the young preacher is dead. Oh, a lion has got him. Oh, oh, bring his body and we'll bury him in my grave. At first glance, that may seem noble, but I think the man's a coward. You don't find the old preacher said, oh, God, what did I do? I went out there and lied to him. God, I did wrong. You don't see him accepting responsibility. To me, it looks like he's still trying to cover up what he's done. Put him over there in my grave. He's looking pretty good, maybe, to some folk. It was tragic. All of his success has come to a screeching halt. What else takes place? Well, look at the last two verses of the text. Verse 33. After this thing, after the young man's been buried in the old preacher's grave, after this thing, Jeroboam returned. Look at verse 33. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off of the face of the earth. The old prophet, he's destroyed everything around him. And the king, who had seen God work, Then the king says, oh, so that young preacher who came and confronted me, lion killed him on the way home. Huh, how about that? Guess God's just not as real as everybody was thinking. And the king becomes increasingly wicked, so much that the king himself destroys his own heritage. All right, so what do we learn from this? Well, number one, here's something to learn. God is serious about obedience. Amen to that. Everything God says to do, according to this book, we had better be doing it. We better do it. My mom and dad, bless their hearts, they get up in the morning. And though my dad cannot read well, mom and dad get this book out. Just the two of them. And they start reading. What does the book say? Study. I went over there to my dad's house, and he had five Bibles out. He had five Bibles out on the dining room table. I went by there. I said, what are you doing, Pop? He said, I'm studying. He was having a hard time finding all the texts and so forth, so he just got him five Bibles and opened them all to the texts he wanted, you know. I didn't know he was studying to preach his very first sermon. His pastor had asked him to preach. God's serious about obedience. Doesn't matter where you are in your age, your maturity, keep studying the book. Why? Because God told us to. Keep trying to memorize the book. Today at noon, a lady who has been a magnificent pianist in our country, Flora Jean Garlock, Patch the Pirate's mother-in-law, she passed away today. She's over in the nursing home. She had to go in there. She had been struggling badly. Her husband, Frank Garlock, master musician. When his wife had to go in the convalescent center, he said, I'm just moving in too. He's moved in with her. What'd he do? Started having worship services over there. He's 89 years old. He called me a while back on his phone. He said, Brother Fox, I want to come sing in your choir. He said, but Brother Fox, I can't stand up today. My legs are not working. Boy, here's something to learn. It's not just how you start the counts, it's how you finish the counts. This old man is tragic. Do you know they say 9 out of 10 preachers quit preaching, give up the ministry, quit? Whew, a lot of Christians have quit. Number one, God is serious about obedience. Number two, it's not just how we start the counts, it's how we finish the counts. So what should we do tonight? Well, here's what we ought to do. Every one of us need to get thoroughly clean with God tonight. Mature believers, thoroughly clean with God. Aim to finish well. Let your light shine right now. It's not time to be silent. It's time to stand up for Jesus Christ in this country right now. Everyone stand, please. I want our pianist to find that song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee.